If you open your Bibles this morning to the passage we read earlier, Luke chapter 6, and we'll get there in just a moment. And then we're going to turn to John 11 after that. But Luke chapter 6 to begin. I wonder this morning, how many of you have a tendency to cry when you see a sad story, see a sad movie, or you read a sad story? Now, I'm going to confess something to you if you promise not to tell anybody. And that is that I'm a sucker for a sad story. I've watched probably every episode of the Andy Griffith Show, probably a dozen times at least, maybe more than that. But you know, there are certain of those episodes that it doesn't matter how many times I've watched them, it'll get to a certain place, and I have a tendency to cry. Now you may look at me and say, well, that I don't think I'd tell anybody about that if that's true. And there are times when I'm a little bit embarrassed about it. We'll be sitting in the living room and watching a movie, an old movie or something on TV, and it'll come to a certain place in the movie and it's a very sad spot, or it's a spot where something really good happens and you're thankful for how well this guy or this girl has done or whatever, and I'll have tears start coming out of my, you know, and I'll start wiping them away. I don't want my wife to see me crying. It's a little bit embarrassing sometimes. And yet, the Bible talks about weeping often in a very positive way. We've been going through a series which I've entitled Learning Christ, We've talked about learning to love. We've talked about learning to believe, learning to serve, learning to give, learning to shine. And today I want to talk about something we don't talk about very often, and that is learning to weep. The Bible says that Jesus wept on more than one occasion. The Bible has a lot to say about weeping. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. In this passage in Luke chapter 6 that we read earlier, in verse 21, the Bible says, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And then it says, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And then it comes down in verse 25, and it says, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that lack now, for ye shall mourn and weep. So the Bible says, Jesus said, if you hunger now, you're going to be weeping, but there's coming a time when you're going to laugh. And then it says, but if you're full now, and you are not hungry now, there's coming a time when you will get hungry. It says, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. You know, I think about the illustration that Jesus gave with Lazarus and the rich man dying. And you remember the Bible says that Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also and he was cast into hell. And the rich man saw Lazarus and he cried out and he said, would you please send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. And you remember what Jesus said was true about that? He said, you in your life had many good things. You were rich. You were full. And now you're tormented. Lazarus in his life was very poor and didn't have a whole lot, but now he is comforted. Now that's not teaching that if you are doing well in this life, that you're going to go to hell. That's not the criteria that determines whether or not you end up in heaven. But it is teaching that if we spend most of our time laughing, we need to understand that there will come a time when we'll end up weeping. And if we're weeping now, there will come a time when we'll end up laughing. Now here's the question. What is it that causes us to laugh and what is it that causes us to weep? We have a tendency in our society not to weep very much. Part of the reason for that is because we are so prosperous. We have so many good things. And yet the Bible says that there's coming a day that even those of us who are redeemed, even those of us who know the Lord and know that we're going to heaven to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father, there's coming a time when there'll be great sadness for us as well. And that's why the Bible says, Revelation 21 and verse number 4, that at that time, God shall wipe away all tears. Laughing is easy. And it's enjoyable. The fact that we're laughing means we're enjoying life. Weeping is not a fun thing to do. And yet the Bible talks about it in many cases in a very positive way. Ellen Wilcox, you don't know who that is, but you do know something that she said. But she was on a train one day and sitting in the middle of the train car and sitting by herself, but there was a woman sitting near the front of the car who was crying. And she wasn't just kind of crying quietly with tears streaming down her cheeks, you know, just not very emotional, but she was sobbing very noticeably. At first, she was bothered by the persistent weeping, but then she noticed that there was another passenger in the car sitting toward the back. And that was an older gentleman, and he was sitting back there telling funny stories. And everybody sitting around him was listening to him and laughing and just having a good time. After a while, she noticed something happen. Some of those that were sitting in the front near the woman who was weeping got up and started moving toward the back. And the woman who was weeping ended up sitting up there by herself, weeping alone. And because of that, she was motivated to write this statement that we've all heard many, many times, laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone. Now, I want you to understand that when Jesus talks about weeping and when we see in His life Him weeping, it's not because of things that are happening to Him. It's not because of His pain or His suffering. It's because He has noticed a need in somebody else's life and their suffering, and He's concerned about them, so He determines that He's going to be a blessing to them, and He ends up weeping with them. Turn to John chapter 11, if you would, and we're going to look at a story that's very familiar to you. And Lazarus has died. This is not the same story as Lazarus and the rich man, but Lazarus has died, and Jesus is not there. And He comes later, and Mary and Martha, who were Lazarus' sisters, were hurting because of the death of Lazarus. And so Jesus discusses it with them. We won't go into all of that story. But in verse number 32, the Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see." And then in verse 35, we have this, the shortest verse in Scripture, these two words, "Jesus wept." Why did Jesus weep? Now there's, that question goes far deeper than his motivation in that particular situation. Why did Jesus weep? Well, everybody understands that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was more than just a man. He was God in the flesh. He did not lay aside his deity when he came to this earth. He was still 100% God, just as much as he was 100% man. That's hard for us to understand, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. So what does that mean? That means that since he was God in the flesh, he knew, first of all, that he had the power to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. In fact, he had already told Martha that Lazarus would rise again. And she said, well, yes, Lord, I know that. He's going to rise again in the last day. And Jesus said to her, no, Martha, you don't understand. The resurrection is not an event. It's a person. And I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so he was explaining to her that he was the resurrection. Not just that he had the power to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, but he was the resurrection in human form. So Jesus knew that he had the power. He could resurrect him if he chose to. He also knew that he was going to resurrect him. Because he's omniscient, he knows all things. He didn't come to this situation where he's looking at the tomb and in his mind go through a reasoning process where he made a choice and determined what he was going to do. He already knew that Lazarus was going to live again. And he also knew that Martha and Mary's suffering was only temporary. Because within a half hour or maybe even less, they were going to be rejoicing again. The sorrow was going to be gone. The tears were going to be gone. They were going to be rejoicing. Now, from a human perspective, as you think about that, you have to ask, why would Jesus weep? If I were in that situation, I would not be crying. I would be thinking about the joy that they were going to have, and I would be hurrying to get it done. But the Bible says that Jesus wept. Now, what benefit did Jesus weeping provide? And why would Jesus weep? Let me give you some verses first that deal with why Jesus was weeping. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first reason why Jesus would weep is because he cared about him. He cares for you. The Schmids are missionaries in Canada, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. You know them. They've been here many times. They're close friends of ours. His favorite song is the song, Does Jesus Care? And it's a song that talks about the trials and the tribulations and the temptations that we face. And it asks the question, does Jesus care? And of course, the answer is very emphatically, yes, he does care. We can cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. He knows what's going on in our lives. He sees what's happening. He cares about us, and he's promised to meet our needs and to bring us through. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus wept because he cared for them. Secondly, he wept because he knew what they were going through. There's not a situation that we as believers face where Jesus has not been before, as far as temptation and troubles and challenges, that kind of thing. Jesus experienced them. Part of His reason for coming to this earth. Of course, the primary reason He came was to die on the cross to provide salvation for us. But He spent 3.5 years on this earth in a human body so that He could identify with us. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like to be tempted to do wrong, although He didn't yield to the temptation, but He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to suffer physical pain. He knows what it's like to suffer rejection. He knows what it's like to go through life not having everything you need from a human perspective to be able to live. He knows anything, everything about anything that we might face. And because of that, He cares, He identifies with us, and He weeps. And then there's a third thing. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's promised to be with us through whatever happens in our lives. Doesn't matter what the challenge we're facing, He's going to be there. And because He's there, and because He knows what we're going through, and because He cares, the Bible says He weeps. What benefit does it provide? Well, when Jesus wept, it demonstrated His compassion, it reinforced His preaching, and it ministered to His followers. He was concerned about helping them and meeting their needs. Now, Jesus wept 3 times. The Bible says that the Savior shed tears on 3 occasions. The first one is found in this passage, John chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. The Bible says that when He asked, "Where have you laid them?" they said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Now, beyond that, verse 36, the Bible says, "Then said the Jews, Behold how He loved Him. And some of them said, Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" So Jesus moved forward to take care of the problem. And in verse 39, verse 38, he goes to the grave, which was a cave, and there was a stone lying upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me also, always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with graveclothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." So Jesus wept, first of all, over the sorrow of a friend. The fact that Lazarus died, Jesus loved Lazarus, there was no question about that. But He wasn't weeping over the fact that Lazarus died. He was weeping over the fact that Mary and Martha and those who loved Lazarus were hurting. He was weeping over the sorrow of a friend. He was weeping out of concern for them. And when we weep with others, that provides necessary strength and support. Romans 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." And that's what Jesus was doing. Secondly, not only did Jesus weep over the sorrow of a friend, the second time is found in Luke chapter 11. Turn there if you would. Luke 11 and verses 41 through 44. Luke 11. Excuse me, that's not the passage I was looking for. Jesus was making his final approach to Jerusalem, and he's on a donkey. Turn to Luke 19. Luke 19 and verse 41. The Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." He's making his final entrance into Jerusalem before he goes to die on the cross. And before he gets there, he stops and he looks at the city. And the Bible says that he wept over it. Verse 42, saying, "If thou hadst known, even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. But Jesus wept over the condition of the city of Jerusalem, over their unbelief. In another place he said, "How often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chicks under my wings, but you would not." The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Those who chose not to receive him were primarily those in the city of Jerusalem who had rejected him and said, "We want somebody to come and set up our kingdom on this earth. We want you to destroy the rule of Rome over us. We want you to be our king." And they rejected him because that's not what he came for. And so Jesus wept over the unbelief of the city. In the first situation, Jesus wept in sympathy for a friend. This time, Jesus was weeping out of concern for sinners. And it's interesting. We talked earlier about the rich man in hell. Do you realize that the rich man in hell had the same concern that Jesus had? You remember, he not only said, "Send Lazarus and then dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame." He said, "But I have brothers who I don't want them to come to this place. Would you send Lazarus to go and tell them so that they can avoid coming here?" The rich man, very interesting, he's in hell. And he's tormented in the flame, but his primary concern is not what's going on with him. He's concerned about those who are left behind who need to avoid where he is. And his heart is broken for his brothers. He wants the Lord to send somebody that they might avoid that place of torment. So Jesus wept first out of sympathy for a friend. Secondly, out of concern for a city that chose not to believe in him. And then there's a third case where Jesus, the Bible records that Jesus wept. And for this we have to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. So if you turn there, please, Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Look at verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation for all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Bible tells us that that night, before Jesus was betrayed, he met with his disciples, and then he took a couple of them with him to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray alone, which he did often. And he went to pray by himself. And the Bible says on that night that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he was crying out to God. And he prayed and said, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. However, not my will, but thy will be done." The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus on that night offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. But I want you to understand something. Jesus was not crying because he had to go to the cross. That's why he came to this earth. Jesus was not crying out of anticipation for the pain that he was going to suffer. That was not the case either. Jesus was weeping over the lost condition of a world. He was concerned about their eternal destiny. And he knew that his death was going to provide redemption for all of those who would trust him. But he was concerned about them. His heart was broken over their need. And the Bible says that he cried out with prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears, because of his concern for those that were lost. He was facing the cross, and hope for mankind was in the balance. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the author of salvation for every man who would believe. The Bible says that we as believers ought to rejoice with them that rejoice, that we ought to weep with them that weep. The question that we asked earlier was, why did Jesus weep? Why would Jesus weep? He's God in the flesh. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. Why would he weep? The real question we ought to be asking is, why do we not weep? Now think about it. We have salvation. We're rejoicing. If you know the Lord, then you're on your way to heaven. You have every reason to rejoice. But there are millions who don't know the Lord. When is the last time that we shed a tear over the needs of lost people that live on the other side of the country? We may do it when we have a missions conference. What about the lost person that lives down the street? What about those who are destined to spend eternity in hell? Why do we not weep? The truth is, we as believers need to learn what it means to weep again. I told you earlier that I had a tendency to cry when a story came on that was sad, and I'm not real proud of that. But here's the way I would answer that. And try to impress you with my temperament, and that is, I just have a tender heart. But you know, sometimes we have a tender heart for the wrong things. And we ought to have a tender heart for that which is important, which is the needs of a lost world. I worked with a preacher one time many, many years ago, who told me a story that I've never forgotten. He had a situation very similar to mine, in that it was very easy for him to weep. He would cry over little things that weren't a big deal. You know, sometimes I'll read a story and I'll be reading it to my wife, or maybe reading it to somebody else, and it comes to a very important part of the story, and I get choked up and have a hard time finishing the story. I watched that episode where in Little House on the Prairie, where Laura loses her dog. And then she finally finds him. His name's Jack. She finally finds the dog. And she's so happy and so excited. I'm glad she found a dog. And sometimes, you know, tears will come. That's ridiculous, isn't it? This pastor had that issue. And he cried all the time. And he was embarrassed by it and he didn't like it. And he finally got on his knees and said, Lord, this is terrible. I can't get through a message sometimes without crying. It's just not a good thing. Would you please take the tears away? And the Lord did. And this was way later in his life, down near the end of his life. And he said, you know, that was the worst prayer I ever offered. She said, I prayed over and over and over again that God would give me the tears back, and He hasn't done it. Crying's not a bad thing. Especially if we're weeping over the right thing. The Bible says, rejoice with them rejoice, weep with them that weep. We're supposed to be like Jesus in everything we do. The Bible says on three occasions that Jesus wept. The first time out of concern for the sorrow of a friend. The second time over a city who had chosen to reject His love. And the third time over the fact that there was a world that needed what He was going to provide for them. And His concern was that they would receive it. May God help us to be like the Lord Jesus. May God help us to learn again what it means to weep. Very much a part of who Jesus was. And if we're going to be like Him, then we need to have that same kind of heart. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed.